A reading from the book of Romans. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace through God, with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
Thank you, Mackenzie, for that reading and for helping us lead worship today. And happy Father's Day to all fathers and father figures. Hal stole my thunder by proclaiming all of you father figures in one way or another, perhaps, both male and female, but we all do the job of fathering and mothering in this world. I am remembering my dad today, not unexpectedly, who is, as many of you know, was a storytelling preacher, a professor of philosophy of religion, and a seminary president. He was often asked to speak in those roles when he was not interim pastor at a particular church, and he often preached on Romans and memorized many passages from it so that he didn't have to put on readers and read it like this, a little vanity. This passage brings me memories of him because I heard him read it often. I can hear him reading it in my mind. He had a great sonorous, a lovely voice that people often said, "Oh, please read the scripture. You sound like God." I can hear the rhythm and the cadence of his inflections. And I remember him reading it with such passion. He was not a tall man, so he would rise on his toes in excitement as he preached or read scripture as if he was going to make a basketball goal, just as he did in high school when he was captain of the team. And they won state, by the way. Holding his soft, covered leather Bible that would open just right in his hand, he might paraphrase a bit to reiterate his point, saying, "Because we are justified by faith, set right with God through Jesus, and so have access to God's peace and grace, we can boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God." That is a very poor interpretation of him, but he would go up and down as he read, and I can remember him reading this scripture saying, "And we boast also in our sufferings, for suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." For Dad, this text was not about false sentimental feel-good. It was not a happy, clappy message. God will make everything fine for us if we just believe in the right way. No, for Dad, Paul's message was life-changing news in the midst of the very real lives of people, the people he was addressing in the midst of their sorrows and tragedies along with their joys. This message brought ultimate meaning and purpose to his life, and he was so passionate to share it. I do not remember all of his exegesis in those sermons, but I do remember that my dad was a friend of God. He once told me shortly after my mom's death, and after at least 60 years of preaching God's good news, that when he died, his hope was that he would learn to love as God loves. I think that's what he's doing right now. What an aspiration. To learn to love as God loves. I know he glimpsed that while he was here with us in this life. I know he's learning it more fully. And I have to ask myself from this legacy of his, do I have this aspiration? And ask you, what about us here in this faith community? Do we want to learn to love as God loves here in the midst of our lives? Do we want to at least catch glimpses of this selfless loving, and in doing so, be friends of God? In the passage that we heard Mackenzie read, Paul acknowledges that he and the early Christians lived in very trying times. At times he wrote his letters from prison. They all knew about the danger of persecution. And yet Paul's conviction is that God is utterly faithful, just as God was to Paul's ancient ancestor Abraham, leading him into a new land, promising that his ancestors would be as many as the stars in the sky. And Paul knew that in God's action in the world through Jesus, as well as in sending the Holy Spirit through whom he was introduced to Jesus the Christ, this same God was not only faithful, but a faithful friend. To be justified, to be set right with God through our trust in God, is to know God as friend. Paul tells us that even in the midst of suffering, we stand in God's grace and we share in God's peace because God is our faithful friend. Take a moment. Think about this. In the midst of your personal lives, here at Plymouth, in the midst of our communal life together, we stand in God's grace and peace. Because we have been justified, set right with God through our faith and our trust in what God did through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus the Christ. We can rejoice with Paul, trusting that God befriends us before we even befriend or trust God back. We can rejoice with Paul because, like him, we know the heritage of the Hebrew Scriptures that tells of God the Creator and God the Spirit moving across the waters in creation. Because, like Paul, we experience the faithfulness of God in Jesus, the one who lived among us, who was crucified by the sin of the world, and yet through whom God conquered death in resurrection. Now, the articulation of the doctrine of the Trinity came many generations after Paul wrote this letter to the Romans. And yet implicit in his testimony here in Romans is the holy one in three, the holy three in one, the mystery we name the Trinity, one unified God who has three faces or three leaves or three windows into the hugeness, the unfathomable nature of the divine. Knowing God, knowing that God is faithful friend, simplifies this mysterious and often confusing human-made doctrine of Trinity for me. I think of one of my closest earthly friends and the many roles she plays in my life as comforter, challenger, caregiver, confronter, and yet she is one person. Paul is telling us that to be justified by faith, justified is such an old-fashioned term in some ways, is to be friends with the flow of love that we know as God, that we envision as the community of the Holy One, Earth Maker, the source and creator of all, Jesus, the pain bearer, who came to share our common lot, who bears with us the weight of this world and spirit, who continues the life-giving movement of hope and deepest joy even in the midst of suffering. In deep friendship with the Holy Three in One, the One in Three, we can say confidently and without shallow sentiment that our sufferings can produce endurance, and endurance character, and character hope, no matter what situation life brings. Then we know in the midst of sorrow or joy the glory of God, this friend. And we can be in the best sense of, we can in the best sense of the word boast, not arrogantly, but sharing joyfully with the strength of humility, God's peace and grace, because God's love has been poured into our hearts. Sometimes something like the mystery of the Trinity, the paradox, is best shared, as Hal did, in story, where we kind of glimpse the meaning out of the corner of our eye. On the very real mountain and peninsula named Mount Athos in northeastern Greece, a place of 20 monastic communities that really comprise one large Eastern Orthodox monastery, there is one monastery that is the smallest of them all, the Lesser Monastery of the Holy Trinity. It holds only 3 monks and 1 lay porter. It's difficult to get to, being set high up on a cliff, and the path to its door is steep and winding, and the wind blows. The small door to the monastery is always open and leads you into a sunny courtyard with plants that are blooming throughout the year. When a pilgrim enters, that person finds a small bench to sit on and rest. Old Gregorio, the porter, lets the pilgrim sit in silence for a time as he peers slyly through a small window to get a sense of the person. Eventually, he emerges to sweep the courtyard or water the plants, and shyly he begins to ask the pilgrim questions such as, "Where are you from? How was your journey? Did it take you long?" Finally, he silently slips away and returns with one of the monks. If he returns with Father Demetrius, the eldest monk, an old man with a long white beard, the pilgrim will find that the monk sits right down next to the pilgrim and begins to talk immediately. His voice is rich and deep, and the words flow like honey from a comb, words of welcome and wisdom. He always seems to know just how long to talk. For when he stops, the pilgrims spill forth their own words of confession, of contemplation, of doubt and faith, words coming from the heart and sometimes with tears. If old Gregorio brings back Father Johannes, the interaction is quite different. Father Johannes is a rather round, middle-aged monk with curling brown hair and warm eyes. He enters the courtyard and he sits on a chair in the sun just across from the pilgrim on the bench and looks deep into their eyes before closing his own eyes to sit in silence in the sun. From time to time, he might look at them again. The silence is companionable, but it can last all morning, even into the afternoon. The pilgrim is always the one to to break the silence, pouring forth their story. In the end, Father Johannes gazes at the pilgrim with the deep, silent love of a brother and then simply gives a blessing. When old Gregorio brings forth the third monk, the pilgrim encounters a beardless young man, Father Alexis. He looks lovingly into the face of the pilgrim with clear, guileless eyes, his own face becoming a mirror for what he sees in the pilgrim's face. Sorrow and grief, frustration or anger, confusion, the joy of learning and asking questions. And when he speaks, it is from the deepest yearnings of the pilgrim's own soul and holds the wisdom of God that is within. Most pilgrims just stay the night, and when they leave in the morning, they pass by the icon of the Trinity that is the monastery's greatest treasure. It's not large, but it's beautiful, and in it sit three figures in a loving circle breaking bread together: a white-haired, white-bearded old man, a curly, brown-haired, smiling man of middle age, and a young man with a clear face who seems to gaze beyond his companions and into the eyes of the beholder. This is the same icon that old Gregorio says his prayers in front of early each morning, crossing himself three times, praying for the wisdom to direct each pilgrim who might visit that day to the monk his soul most needs. For those who seek this smallest monastery on Mount Athos, they would do well to remember that it is more of a place of the heart than a place of the map, and that the monks and old porter there wait patiently within a space of prayer and image, and that the lesser monastery of the Trinity could just as easily hold an elderly but energetic housekeeper named Georgiana, an abbess named Mother Demeter who writes beautiful poetry and songs, an earthy, ginger-haired, middle-aged woman, a healer named Joanna, and a lithe young woman with blonde hair and keen green eyes, a weaver of tapestries, who was named Alexis, just like her male counterpart, which means helper. My friends, God comes to us as friend in Scripture, in the letters of this ancient epistle, in stories, in prayer, in image. God comes to us as friend, creating us anew, bearing pain with us, empowering and emboldening us to act on our deepest loves. This is the image of the Trinity. And this is the message of the Apostle Paul, who believed he was set right by God's friendship, given God's peace and grace and love poured into his heart. This is the friendship that empowers all we do here in acts of social justice, of caring for one another, of welcoming the stranger, of feeding the hungry and housing the homeless, acts of worship and fellowship and study and prayer and singing. This friendship empowers all we do, and we can encounter it in these three faces. And maybe more. Will you accept this friendship? This friendship that is larger than life and abundantly overflowing, the holy one in three and three in one God. It is freely given. Amen. And amen.